He pummels his block. He's in. Touchdown, North Dakota. Touchdown, Kaminsky. His second today. Kaminsky rolling out, and he throws to the corner. He's got a man pulled in. Touchdown, Tang Tang. Yes, sir. Touchdown, North Dakota. How about that?
UND Football 360.
Going deep. They've got something they like. It is caught deep downfield. B.J. Fleming, touchdown, North Dakota. Touchdown, North Dakota. 82-yard catch and run, and UND strikes first.
Analysis, commentary, news, and a look ahead. Look ahead. It's all things UND football. This is the UND Football 360 Podcast.
Touchdown, North Dakota!
With your host, Kelly Howe, and Tank McNamara.
Well, the sun did come up Sunday morning, but hey, it did suck. But yeah. It's a new week. We lost 26-21. Kind of the first game of the year where we just weren't there fully. Especially that first half. So we'll dive into that. But, you know, exciting week. NDSU comes to town 75 miles apart, and they're the number one team in the country. How can you not be excited to face the number one team in the country?
Well, if you're a fan, this is all you can ask for. If you're a player, this is all you can ask for as well. It's a great week. It's going to be fun. Going to be fun atmosphere up in Grand Forks. Yeah, like I said, they're as good, you know, they're as good as they've ever been, you could say, in a way, the way they're winning games. And yeah, the fan base, I mean, there can't be many tickets left. I know I put a picture of the seating chart in one corner. There's a couple corners left, you know, I don't know, 50-100 tickets each in each corner, and that's it, because of the price, you know, is up there. But yeah, it should be a raucous atmosphere. 2 years ago was pandemonium. I mean, it was crazy in there, and it was loud, and obviously it started out quite well. So yeah, that the UND fans have a lot to look forward to this weekend.
I'm excited. I watched the last one with my dad at his house, and boy, we had a fun day, and it was loud in there. We were loud. But hopefully things go better this Saturday than the start for our men and women's basketball teams. But you know what? Credit the coaches and whoever puts the schedules together. They didn't skimp on competition to start the year, did they?
I think, what do we owe Bama? Two trips down there for coming up for the one, which I was at that game last year. That was unbelievable atmosphere. And to start the year with Bama. And the thing is, nobody knows anything about each other anymore because of the portal era. Like, UND's team's completely different than last year. Nobody even knew what to expect other than maybe Eli King, and, you know, what, that's about it.
We're talking with some staff members in May, and when they say, yeah, we haven't seen six guys from the team since the locker room in Sioux Falls.
Right.
Probably never see those guys again in my life. I was like, wow.
Yeah, it's
that's today's
crazy
world, right?
So these first month, let's say, into Christmas, these coaches don't even know what they have. How are these kids going to react, you know, at a game? They have no idea, and I don't know how you scout for the other team, really. You just general observation. So, yeah, it was cool. You know, the men lost to Alabama, but they, you know, they battled. And they covered, though. I think it was spread was 32, and I think they lost by 29.
And so, in today's world, that's all that matters, right?
Yeah, the women didn't fare as well against Minnesota, but that's a whole new team, too. Completely different. I mean, they got a couple pieces back, but not much scoring. So, yeah, it'll be fun. I like basketball season. Love it. Yeah, I'm excited to get up there. UND's got five. The UND men got five non-conference home games this year, D1, which is, for a program like UND, that's tough to get. And they're all decent teams coming in. So I think it's tomorrow night, Thursday. We're cutting this on Wednesday. So Thursday night, the 6th, they play UC Riverside, I think, out of the Big West. So, and good. Another good home game. And I think what some of those teams like, too, is I remember the teams down south like to get their kids out of there and go experience a different part of the country in football. So they had no problem coming up to North Dakota, playing UND, playing NDSU. They're like, hey, some of our kids have never left this area. They never left Mississippi, Alabama, whatever, Tennessee down there. We want to get them out of there, see the world a little bit. And that's part of it. So, yeah, I mean, UC Riverside, bring them up to Grand Forks and experience a different part of the country, right?
Yeah, dude. They should. Too bad we couldn't do non-conference for like 3 weeks in January. Get right. Some of these kids to really experience it. But exciting week for us here at UND Football 360. We kind of gotten into the merchandising business and also trying to do our part with the NIL. And we've worked some deals with Lance Rucker and Jerry Kaminsky. Possibly more down the road. We'll see how this goes. But Lance and 360 combined, teamed up this summer for the little baby T-shirts. And that was fun to do. I don't know if we've really talked about it since we've done these pregame podcasts, but came up with the idea. And I'm in the promotional products and corporate apparel world. So if you need anything, tanklogo.com, find me there. But really sat down with Lance on the phone and got his personality, you know, and it's hard for these guys right now. They're so humble to talk about themselves. Oh. And I got a great conversation with Lance this summer, and Lil Baby goes back to a nickname he had growing up, and it stuck with him, brought it to UND. He likes to work on cars. He's got a little wrench in his hand. And I'm not sure who his business partner is. I think it might be someone from the team, but they started their own business. And if you need some odds and ends around Grand Forks, get a hold of Lil Baby, and he'll come take care of you. So it was fun to put that together. Number zero was important to him to earn that in the off season, so we put that on his helmet. And then thought, hey, let's try it again and see what Jerry Football's up to. And Jerry Kaminsky and I visited a week or two ago. But if you notice the wristband, he's got a scripture verse on his wristband. That's something he carries with him on his wall every day. He sees very powerful scripture. He's a card player. The first design, what is the game that he likes?
Euchre.
Yeah. Euchre. Big in Wisconsin, yeah. And and he loves it. And I said, boy, and they'll play a little poker up there with the football players in Grand Forks. I said, you know what you got to do is take the net down of the ping pong table in the locker room. You can get a nice card table in there.
There you go.
He's like, that's a good idea. But it's fun to visit with both of those guys, and very, it was hard to get them to talk about themselves because they were just humble great guys, humble, all about team winning, and wish them the best of luck. But if you go to undfootball360.com, you'll see the tabs up top. There's Jerry Football. There's a Lil Baby, Lance Rucker, and then the JYD. We came up with that. Got a few different designs up there, so go check it out. And for the players, you're going to be helping them through the NIL, as those are their sites. And thank you to Jonathan and the crew at the 1883 Collective. We got a nice partnership with them. So do your part. Buy a shirt. Great way to contribute. Or they'll take $20 a month. A lot of people I've talked to said, you know, that's not, I'm not a big wig, right? I can't do this. $20 a month will go a long way if you can commit that. So just think of it as a couple tall ones at the bar some night, right? Those will be tough to give up, though, wouldn't they?
It all adds up. Like you said, at this level, it all adds up. You know, if it was Ohio State or something, that might not move the needle there, but at this level, it definitely helps, and it's about retaining the guys we got too, Tank.
And I'll throw this out there that a lot of these athletes have not been approached, and contact the 1883 Collective if you want to get started. But if you're a business owner and you'd like maybe to work with one of these athletes, get a hold of the 1883. They're ready. They're ready to go to work, ready to advertise your business. Mm-hmm. Imagine being a college kid and for two tweets or two Facebook posts and you get $500. I'm not saying that's what it is, but I mean, I'd do it.
A good deal.
I'll like your sunflower seed in a hurry, you know, there's a little residual behind it. But yeah, it's pretty cool the world we're in right now, because just think of 10 years ago, if we were having these conversations I've been having with these athletes, we'd give them big trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Like, big trouble. Oh, and what did Jim Tressel lost his job over a free tattoo, basically.
Yeah, right.
It turned out to be more behind that, but...
Yeah, a bunch of them, like that Bruce Pearl got a dinner or something.
Little
yeah.
things like that, and now we're striking deals. So it's exciting, and do your part wherever you can with... And it's all the athletes on campus at UND. They're all deserving because they do a good job representing. But, hey, let's move along. Let's make this a short segment this week. Let's put this one behind us. But it is that Kelly Howe agency game review. Hawks lose a tough one at South Dakota. And just the way things were going, Kelly, I don't think many saw a 26-21 loss the way we lost. It would be one thing if, hey, South Dakota came out, we played a great game, they played a great game, but this was not even close to our great best game of the year.
No, by far the worst game of the year. I mean, it was ugly. It was there were plays. UND had semblances of who they were in that game, but there were plays that were just unrecognizable that were made. It's like, what is going on here today? I tweeted in the first quarter, I think Caden Vig came around, got a third down sack, but he grabbed Bauman's horse collar.
Yeah.
Pulled him down with that. So we get a 15-yard penalty, I tweeted. I'm like, please don't tell me this is how it's going to go today. Sure enough, that's how it went. The rest of the game was just ups and downs. And, oh, it was, yeah, and you got to give credit to South Dakota. Somewhat, you know, they did play defensively, especially. They played tough. Their running back, LJ Phillips, that kid's, dude, I underestimated him. I knew he was good, but you can't get him down. The first guy is not bringing him down. He's kind of like, reminds me of Otis Way. He's going hard and his legs are pumping and you can't stop him and he keeps twisting and fighting. And yeah, he was good, real good running back in that game. And that, yeah, I underestimated that. We got him under control after the first little quarter or two, let's say. We got him under control then. But, yeah, he's a good player. It was just the three turnovers. You got to point to the three turnovers, two interceptions, a fumble. I mean, Sawyer fumbled on that drive. Guy, USD defender, picks it up, runs it back for a touchdown, right? Start the third quarter. I mean, geez, it's like, you know. So, as it turns out, that was their only touchdown in the second half. They scored 3 points on offense in the second half. So the defense really wasn't that bad. But Sawyer hadn't, I don't think he had fumbled all year that I remember. And he fumbles, so there's 7 points. The two interceptions by Jerry, he had never thrown those balls all year. I don't know what happened.
I was in a hockey rink up in Grand Rapids in Virginia, so I we had too many people on my ESPN subscribers, so I couldn't get the game, but that's okay. But yeah, it just that first interception, I saw that, and
double coverage. He threw.
And
I don't
the
know.
Second one, he was just trying to throw it away. And,
well, no, I think he was trying
was
to
trying
he,
to make.
We
a
had
play.
A guy coming back behind that linebacker, whoever made that interception, and he's just that's when you're pressing. You know, it's nothing saying he's a bad quarterback or anything. He was pressing at that point because we did not look good. So he's trying to think, okay, maybe I flip it over this guy's head, drop it in the bucket. We get a first down and we keep moving. Well, no, you just throw it out of bounds and we just, you know, it's just not happening right now type of thing.
He was maybe trying to create that spark.
Oh, yeah, and it was just pressing. That's all it is. You know, and that's fine. Everyone does it. Every athlete who's ever played has pressed once you make a mistake, you want to make up for the mistake, right? Well, quarterback just can't do that. I mean, another guy, you know, even when like safety, like when I played safety, you get beat. Well, now you're trying to make up for it. You're trying to, well, now what are you going to do? Go jump up in the run game quick. Then you get beat. You know, it's just, you can't. It's hard. And he's a sophomore. Okay. That was his first real adversity, I would say, in a bad game. He had always played well. Kansas State, he played well. Montana, he played decent, but, you know, no big mistakes in that game. So this was the first one where he kind of got dinged by the mistakes. And, he came back second half, looked much better. You know, Jerry, he led a good offense. But, there was a couple. What did I got in our notes here? There was He ended up 16 of 30 for 177 yards, which, you know, is just average for Jerry. But missed Sawyer on that pop pass. We ran a fake QB, kind of a QB power look, and Sawyer just shot around the end instead of blocking right up the seam, and he missed him. Oh, boy. I mean, that's he would have caught it for 20 yards, and then he would have had to beat the safety, but one move and he's by the safety, you know, type of thing. So there's a touchdown. Corey Ty on the last drive. We had two drives to win that thing, Tank. Two drives. We're down five, and we didn't get in either one of them. The first one, he missed Nate DeMontagnac on fourth down right up the seam. Wide open. They blew the coverage. He threw the curl route, I think, and got it knocked down. Nate was wide open. So there's a touchdown. The last drive, Corey Ty is streaking down the field, blew right by the safety, and Jerry underthrew that one. So there, I mean, you know, the more I reviewed it, we had 382 yards. They had 270. Okay. I just named how many plays for touchdowns that we didn't get.
That we could have won, and then also that we gave them.
Yeah, I mean, we gave them 9 points. We got a punt blocked, which now is second week in a row. Now, here's the problem. They all saw the first one. That's why South Dakota sent that extra guy off the edge, because they saw the first one. What we did the week before, 2 weeks ago, against Indiana State, when we got a block, we had our backups in. So we didn't block it correctly, and we didn't make the calls. So then what it does is it tips off every team after that. You know, they don't care. We have nothing to lose. Let's just send a guy in that same. Well, that was the exact same thing. The two ends blocked down, but we have nobody left. The punter's got to get rid of it.
Yeah.
And I think what happened on that punt block, we didn't get rid of it quick enough. I think the blocking was okay. Technically, on paper, it was fine. We didn't. Punter took too long. So, yeah, it's just when you're backed up like that.
Maybe a little long on that first one 2 weeks ago, too. He probably could have got rid of that a little quicker.
Yeah. When you're in your own end zone, you got
to
go.
I'm not one to judge. But
so, yeah, it was just the mistakes. You know, mistakes like that. We gave them 9, you know, didn't give them 9 points. They scored 9 points defensively. So we gave up 17. That's all we gave up in the game to a team that normally scores 17. So we did our job. The offense, it seemed like they played so poorly because right away it was kind of disjointed. It was ugly. But they got in a rhythm there, and it made it, 26-21, and we had all the momentum. And just, like I said, we had 2 drives. Couldn't get in.
You don't want to blame the building, do you?
Well, you don't blame the building, but every time we go in it, we look like that. That's the problem. It's like every time, go look at the scores last 30 years.
Every time
we set foot in there, we look like that.
Well, we said the same thing about the road, and we took care of that. What happened?
I don't know. Unless it could have been anywhere. Who knows? They might have gone to Murray State last week and looked like that. It might have been the week. You know what I mean?
But it was a weird week around the league. We'll get around that. Yeah. But it was just...
Around the country.
It didn't make sense.
Everyone looked terrible. I mean,
too much trick-or-treating, maybe?
Yeah. Well, NDSU won by 8.
They were lucky.
They were on the ropes. Everyone was on the ropes. It was like, I think 5 top 10 teams lost. So it was just one of those weeks where, I don't know, everyone was off a little bit after so many games, and now everyone recalibrates for the rest of the year type of thing. The one thing I can tell you, and we'll get to it in our game preview, is that UND won't look like this. And they won't. I mean, everyone's going to get, God, they look like this. They're going to lose by 40. Well, they won't look like this again. We didn't see it for 8 weeks. Okay, and then we saw that, and they still could have won the game very easily. So we just need to calm down and just remember it's a new week, Tank.
Yeah, to give South Dakota that much, and I mean, that score could have been a lot worse, right? I mean, you said, they did come back and play some good football, but then misplays at weird times. So
yeah, it was just one of those weeks. Personal fouls. I think we had 2 personal fouls. I believe we had 2 more pass interference penalties. Like 60 yards.
How bad was the? I was listening on the radio at that time. How bad was that horse collar?
Which one?
Very early in the game.
No, Viggs was fine. That was a horse collar. But there was another one that they missed, and they weren't. I don't know. It was ugly. It was a choppy game. I mean, Johansson on their side, their coach was flipping out on the refs. our side was flipped. Those refs were hearing it from both sides. I think they just had a tough game. It wasn't real well officiated by either team.
You know, and I was talking to a former Bison player Saturday night at the hotel too, and it's like one of those years where you should go down to Augie and beat them by like 14, 17 points, you know, and you get out of there with a squeaker, you know, like
right.
I go, it felt like one of those Saturdays. And he said, so when you were playing, did you ever lose to like Mankato when you probably should have beat them or?
No, the one Augie. I always bring up, South Dakota State.
South Dakota State.
We went down there, we got the crap kicked out of us. So, like we were number 4 in the country, undefeated.
So and we what went was down that there, locker
they
room
pounded
like?
Us.
This sounds like a very player-led team now. Do the players have a little word in the locker room, or do you let it go until you get back to Grand Forks? Or
practice the next week. You just show that you're ready to go, and it's not affecting. You don't say anything. I mean, it's one loss. Not that big a deal. You don't say anything to anybody, but, you know, you kind of put your message out there. I think if I recall... God, because somebody showed me it. Somebody found the article after that game. I don't know how. And I saw it, and it was like, I think they interviewed me, and I was terrible that game. Awful. And I don't know why. Why was I bad? I don't know. But I showed up. I didn't make a play all game. And I said, well, we're terrible. They beat us. You know, basically, we got the crap kicked out of us. I go, the only player who was good today, I think it was Dan Hildebrand, his name was. He was our punter. And he punted the hell out of the ball that day, though.
Yeah.
He did, too. And I was serious. I was like, the only guy that I can point to right now that looked good in this game is Dan Hildebrand, our punter. The rest of us were terrible. And it was the truth, because sometimes you just got to call it what it is. And then the rest of the teammates might see that in the paper. All right, there's the accountability.
Yep.
There, it's taken care of, done. Let's move on to next week.
It happened. We just didn't have our mojo. And. Yep. Sometimes you get out of there with a 26-21 win or fall.
Yeah. They had chances to win it. Didn't do it. Move on.
And everything you've seen out of this team right now, they're not thinking about South Dakota right now, right? That game's behind them, right?
So. I mean, after you watch the tape, you can say, geez, they beat us. Yep. They're good. You know, they played a good football game, but we could have won the game. You watch the tape, and it should make them feel better. It's like, okay, we don't fumble. Okay, you know, I just don't throw that one pass. Okay, well, all right. Take away those two, and we win the game. It's pretty quick. You know, it doesn't take much to get to, we had a chance to win it. Let's move on. So, no big deal. We'll move on. You got number one in the country coming in. You got to move. You don't have a choice.
Well, we're at that time where it's our Development Homes Guest of the Week. We got a couple of them today, but first we're going to go with the Grand Forks Herald UND football beat writer Tom Miller, good friend of the podcast. Tom, how's it going today?
Going all right. UND NDSU week, you can never get too much UND football into the paper, so I've been trying to just keep cranking it out.
Are you playing it up as a beat writer, as this is UND's Super Bowl, or are you trying to treat it more like a regular week this year?
My focus is to get the most people to view the content as I can. So I'm just trying to tell the stories. I'm not pushing it in any sort of direction. I'm just kicking out things I think people will want to read.
And yeah. I know I had talked about this. I don't even know if it was on the air, but before the season started, I said to Tank, UND needs to keep things in moderation up there with this game. 2 years ago, you know, it was obviously a amped up atmosphere and the team was amped up and came out and played that way, but the rest of the year fell apart. Like they weren't able to recover from it at all. And I said, you know, you need to understand the goal of this thing is the end of the year and, you know, and getting to, what is it, Nashville now or wherever the championship is. But that's the goal. And it's like, that wasn't the goal in prior years. It was like they made too big a deal out of this game. I mean, do you sense a little bit more moderation and just understanding it's just another week up there?
Yeah, I went into Monday's press conference with the storyline idea of, new coach in town in Grand Forks, what direction is he going to take this? Is he going to say, you know, I'm really going to pump up this game to the team. A lot of new players on the roster that might not know about this rivalry. Or is it the whole nameless, faceless opponent type mantra? So I kind of went fishing around for that line of thinking, like which way do you take this with your team? And the vibe I got was really a steady focus on, we did things wrong in South Dakota. These are the things we're going to do to improve it. I don't think it was full on poo-hooing the rivalry that I think took place at North Dakota State at times over the years. But I just think it was a focus of, you know, I don't think there wasn't a lot of value to gain in saying, this is really important. This is really important. This, the community cares, the state cares. I think it's, you know, a little more X's and O's, and this is what needs to be corrected. And this is a game that's going to be important because that's how playoff resumes are built.
I can tell you, though, throughout the year, I've had more Bison fans texting me, reaching out at various times. I think they've had a lot of fans have had this game on their radar because they're like, are they for real or what's going on up there? Because it seems like there's a different vibe going on in Grand Forks.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I certainly think more people statewide and nationally have taken notice of what North Dakota's put together this year, the way they've won on the road and the way they've handled business against teams like Southern Illinois and Youngstown, and early in the year having those tight losses to Kansas State and Montana. I think there are people sitting up and saying, it looks like a new era in Grand Forks.
Yeah, it's definitely a different vibe. Yeah, and I've noticed that too, a little bit more respect just because the showings, you know, the showings on the road and then actually winning on the road, you know, was a different one. But how about the team, Tom, this week? I mean, geez, the way with this portal era and stuff, I mean, there's got to be a vast majority of the team doesn't quite understand, you know, this rivalry or what it entails, what it means to the fans or anything. Can you sense anything up there versus past years? I was kind of interested in a comparison thing about how the players are going about their business.
Yeah, you know, it certainly is a different era. You just, even in something small, like who did UND bring to the press conference this week? They brought Corey Tye, a young player from Illinois, and they brought Jai Martin, a junior college transfer, who said he had no idea, you know, and why would he? He had no idea what the rivalry was about. So, you know, it's a different era that maybe isn't two rosters chock full of upper Midwest kids who know a lot about each other. There's some of that, but not nearly as much as there used to be. And so maybe that's a little bit of why you're not seeing, you know, so much chatter about how important this is to the community and the state. I don't know if it's different than the past, but it did feel a little bit subdued previously, just because usually you bring a couple North Dakota kids to that press conference and they talk about going to the games over the years and how their family had rooting interest. That wasn't a talking point. At the same time, you know, Jai Martin talked about how surreal the moment was in Fargo, just how he fully understood in that moment that this game takes on a different atmosphere and a different vibe.
Let's talk about the game now. The actual X's and O's. What do you like about UND heading into this game, Tom?
Well, I think they've been running the football pretty well. Sawyer Seidel's what, on a 4-game 100-yard rushing performances here. It's going to be a big bounce back game for Jerry Kaminsky to see if, you know, what we had seen through his 22 touchdowns to 2 interceptions is going to be more of what we see this week, as opposed to the no touchdowns, 2 interceptions that we saw against South Dakota. But I would say that Sawyer Seidel has been pretty special, which also means the offensive line is doing a pretty good job. Corey Tye has emerged as a nice option to complement BJ Fleming, as well as Nate DeMontanac. You know, UND gave up a defensive score and a special team score, and I think that masks maybe how well they played defensively last week. So I think all things considered, they did a lot of the things last week that has made them successful this year, but they also showed some new troubling things. So they need to get back to the team that we had seen previously.
It'll be interesting to see the 4-2-5 for the first time versus NDSU too. That was something, you know, obviously 3-4 was not working too well. I mean, 2 years ago it did, but everything worked that day. So I don't think it was necessarily the defense, but yeah, it's just the new look up there. It seems like from everything I'm gathering, they're able to have a little more flexibility this year, especially versus a running quarterback, a guy who likes to move around back there and make plays happen, and Cole Payton and Bryce Lance downfield, where, you know, obviously there are no coaches in the country are probably dumb enough to leave their corners on an island with this guy very long. You know, you can maybe try to get away with it, but it seems like the 4-2-5 is just going to give them a lot different dynamic this year than they had in the past few years.
Yeah, I think we've seen some of that against Bo Brungard and certainly against Southern Illinois, DJ Williams. A year ago, UND was completely lost in those type of situations defensively on what they were going to do with a quarterback in the run game. You know, Brungard and even the Indiana State kid, the Elijah Owens, was running wild at times. And so really hasn't been too big of an issue for UND this year as the running quarterback. Obviously, Cole Payton might be an even greater concern in certain ways, maybe a mix of Bo Brungard and DJ Williams. But having the game in the Alera Center, a place the Bison haven't been particularly successful over long periods of time here, I think that could bode well for this UND defense for sure.
Let's talk injuries quick. What's going on with Nate Remodka? I noticed he wasn't playing last weekend, and I'm assuming there's an injury there.
Yeah, I don't know if it took place in practice or in that previous game, but you know, they were ready to pull the shirt on him and let him go through this year, and then hit a snag. And so I don't know how much you know, that's how long that's expected to go on, but certainly test the tight end depth once again. But now that they have Aiden Beheimer back, I would imagine that there's no sense in rushing a young kid that's super promising like Remodka.
How about Javance? Where's he at?
Yeah, Javance has been, you know, rocking a protective boot, but in 2025, they hand those out like candy, it feels like these days, so it's hard to say how long-term that is, but obviously a significant injury when you're talking about the backup quarterback to a quarterback who runs the football as much as Jerry Kaminsky. We saw against South Dakota, he took a couple pretty good-sized licks that has got to make you a little concerned, because at that point, you're probably going back to Simon Rumpfo, who's now kind of returned to take a lot of the number two reps at practice this week. So that's a concern having Javance out. Although, you know, the way things were going, there was a likelihood that if Jerry Kaminsky has to miss any considerable time, that perhaps Simon Rumpfo would be the guy they'd look to regardless here.
A question from X, or do you call it Twitter, Tom?
Well, I'm still calling it Twitter. I feel like I call it X, and somebody would look at me like, "Huh?"
Me too. Whoever does our Twitter feed, though, boy, they said big time guests on this week's UND Football 360 pregame nod. So, hey, you're big time with Eric Schmidt. It's kind of cool.
He's the JV squad here.
First question: what are three things UND has to do to win on Saturday?
Boy,
exactly. Need them literally. They have to happen, Tom. What are the three?
Let me throw your first one out. Obviously, score more points, right?
Yeah, that's going to be vital when you play the Bison. I guess the three things I'm looking at is, can you flip the script in special teams the way things have been trending? North Dakota State has been really good on special teams, and UND special teams on Saturday was not very good. So special teams is number one. Not letting Cole Payton beat you up in the run game like North Dakota State quarterbacks have done in the Fargo Dome would be number two. And then number three is that the key is going to be Jerry Kaminsky's poise and not the rattle Jerry Kaminsky that I think we saw at times in the Dakota Dome.
Yeah, that's a key right there, as because Jerry, when Jerry's on, that offense is really rolling. And yeah, like I said, that was just that was an off game. So yeah, I'm glad you brought that up.
When you're talking to some of these recruits, do they, before they get to UND, they're not talking much about NDSU, UND, are they? There's kind of a question about that on Twitter. Are some of the in-state guys doing more to help talk about this game?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if recruits initially bring that up. You know, I think UND might be in a place now that they can say, hey, you know, you might be our missing piece here to a championship program. You know, we want nothing more than to chase down the gold standard in the FCS. That's 70 miles away. You know, I think, you know, you might get that kind of pitch going on. But for the most part, there's probably not a ton of UND NDSU chatter other than the fact that, hey, this is what we plan to become, is to take down North Dakota State. And perhaps not because it's so much as a rival as it's the team that's setting the mark in the FCS and has been for a while now.
Yeah, there's a good chance they're probably talking to NDSU as well right now as a recruit too.
Yeah.
From what we see,
there's definitely some crossover.
You know, speaking of recruiting here, you know, we've heard about the Beaver Twins down in Missouri, big defense alignment. Some say they could play as true freshmen. They're built like it. Did you hear much about the bye week and what we were able to do on the recruiting trail and some of the updates that the guys got?
I know that they're a priority. I know that during the bye week that there was a considerable UND contingent that made those boys a priority. It's certainly flipping season. If you look out on Twitter and you kind of see the landscape, you're starting to see some guys with some long-term commitments make that flip. And I've been asked if, you know, is UND out of the woods here or there? And I mean, right up until signing day, I'd say no. You know, not until you get announced with a particular program on signing day will I say that UND is out of the woods on anything. And like we've talked about before, it's a good thing, right? There were years where UND had maybe too many guys whose only Division I look was the University of North Dakota, and you can make a pretty good squad out of those amount of guys. But in order to take that next step as a program, you probably need to have guys who are a little more sought after by the rest of the league and by the rest of the country, by the FBS. And that, I think that's where UND finds themselves, with a list of recruits that are certainly going to have to make some decisions.
Tom, before we let you go here, we're going to put you on the spot because, like I told Tank before, when we talk off air a little bit, I said, well, I like to say, why can't UND win the game? I like to just say that. If this was in the Fargo Dome, I'd be like, well, they can't win the game because they never play good in the Fargo Dome. I just come out and definitively state that. Yeah, that's done.
We used
now.
To own the building. Yeah.
But, you know, I like to view things that way. You know, like, why can't they? Well, you know, him. Okay. All right. And then you come up with a thought process on the game. What are you thinking heading into this thing? I mean, you've seen UND as much as anyone. You see them up, you're around them, the new mentality of the team. What do you think they can get done here Saturday?
Yeah, it's fascinating. You know, the way you look at Saturday, is it become a trend? Some of the concerns you saw, or is it the fact that these games happen to good teams every year? You know, the North Dakota State loses to UND before they go on to win a national championship. South Dakota State before that, you know, the Bison lose to South Dakota last year and then go on and do what they do. So I'm very curious to see the bounce back. But to your question specifically, you know, can UND's cornerbacks handle the NDSU passing game? I feel like I imagine that North Dakota might be fairly confident that the defensive front in the Alaris Center, where it always seems to get off the ball a little bit better, will do a fairly good job handling the run, handling the quarterback run game. I think there are questions with UND's cornerbacks, and can they handle Bryce Lance? Can they handle that passing game? I think that's going to be a really important aspect of this game to watch. And whether or not, like I said earlier, whether or not Jerry Kaminsky looks like the poised version of himself that we got to know for most of the season.
I lied. One more. Bennett Walker trying this week again, got it out, or where is he at?
I've seen him dress for practice. I'd say he looks like a player who's under 50% probability of playing against North Dakota State. That injury has sure dragged on. Boy, I've thought of him as week to week since Portland State, and he's traveled, he's practiced. I don't see a player who's on the verge of breaking out and playing in a game like this. Maybe if he was a left guard or a defensive tackle, but to sprint around the field as a corner, I would be quite surprised.
Hey, I don't make it into Schmitty's post-game press conference, but someone on Twitter was talking about his Fresca kick that he's been on. Does he offer you one when he's in there?
No, but everybody's waiting for him to get an NIL Fresca deal because that man must drink a lot of Fresca because he's brought it to every post game I think that I can think of. And I remember the first time he brought it, everybody was kind of concerned in there. Oh, is that a Coke product? This is a Coke school. Uh-oh. And they started doing a bunch of Googling and okay, everything's fine. He's on the up and up. He can drink his Fresca.
I know. After that first home game, we were in the locker room and I'm like, who drinks Fresca anymore? What are you doing with that?
Right.
Maybe that should be great. His signature thing. Like Bubba Schweiger's thing was the gritty. Maybe Schmidt chugs a couple Fresca's like Steve Austin.
Yeah, right. In the locker room, bangs them together and dumps them down.
There you go. Yeah, I remember Saban would always come up to his press conference with that Coke in his hand, and he'd make sure to face it up, too. Yep. That Coke always faced right out, the labeling. That's what Schmidt, he hasn't been doing that as much. You got to turn that Fresca to the cameras and make sure everyone can read it. There's got to be some sort of money there if you're going to sit and drink them every week.
Do we have to wait till Saturday, look in the Grand Forks Herald before your score? Do you still do a score prediction, Tom?
No, I kind of got away from it, so I'll give you one. You want my score prediction here?
Yes.
Okay, so I think if Vegas says 14 points, I always feel like the Alaris Center is more than what people expect in terms of a home advantage. I think UND always punches up in the Alaris Center. I still see North Dakota State 28-24.
Wow.
I mean, that means North Dakota has to kick a field goal, which I'm not sure that they're excited about doing. So I didn't really think of how I reached that score. But, I see this being a more competitive game than some might anticipate. I just have a hard time shaking the vibes of the Dakota Dome, and I got to think about that one for five more hours on I-29 on the way back.
Okay. Yeah, looking forward to it. We'll see you Saturday, and save me a bowl of popcorn, will you, Tom?
Yeah, I'll make sure the Alaris finest will be set aside for you.
Well, we continue on the pregame show here on UNDFootball360.com, and Tom Miller was great, but we have a second guest for our Development Homes Guest of the Week, and it's head coach Eric Schmidt. Schmitty, how's it going today?
Going good. How are you two doing?
Well, we're doing great. We're talking UND football today. How can it get any better, right?
No doubt. That sounds like a good day right there.
Hey, let's get to the big question right off the bat from Twitter. Fresca, how did that become a beverage of yours, and why do you like to showcase it in the press conference?
I feel like Fresca is like the little guy out there, right? Like underappreciated, been there for a long time, does a great job, has crossed generations and still good. Like we talk about Tank all the time, consistently good, not occasionally great. That's what you're getting with Fresca.
Cross generations. Yeah, it's something, all right. It's like it's Fresca. Like, okay, here's the other thing, though. It's Saban always standing up there with his Coke. make sure he turns the label out. Now, that's your next step. You got to get an NIL deal out of this, and then you got to have that label out all the time. So you take a drink, nice and slow, and enjoy the hell out of that drink. Then set it down and label it up right for the cameras, right? That's your next step.
It's good, man. I'm taking notes. I got it. We got to get the, we got a Coke sponsorship here at UND, and Fresca is a Coke product, so I'm waiting for the Coke guy to swing by with all the Fresca we can have at UND football.
Yeah. Just don't take a drink too close to the microphone. That's all I'll tell you. Let's move on. What are your other top two beverages? This question wanted to know your top three beverages.
I mean, really, all I drink is water, Fresca, and, occasionally I'll do a cherry Coke. Cherry Ooh. Cokes are, sometimes you got to have a cherry Coke like once a month or something like that. So those would probably be my top three.
What would you say if you saw one of your players drinking a pop? Is that a big deal now? Can they drink pop?
Yeah, our guys don't drink much soda. No, they don't do much with pop. They, when we're on flights, the flight attendants always ask us, hey, is pop okay? We're like, no, Powerades, waters. And most of the guys, honestly, I don't think, I don't know if it's just something that's not as popular as it was, back in our generation, but I don't see many kids walking around with pops or anything like that. I feel like everybody's got a water bottle now. Like they walk around with, water bottles and constantly filling those up at water fountains and those types of things. And that's what I'd say a majority of our guys like.
Hey, what that started with the 40-year-old housewife needing a Stanley thing. Where did that come from? Because all of a sudden every female has a Stanley.
More than one.
45 bucks a pop.
Hey, it's half your kitchen cupboards right now that are all full. What? How many of those things do you need?
Well, it's water, and I don't get it, and I never will. And then now we got to have the pure thing, the container in there with the little filter in it, because apparently Fargo's water, where they just got a brand new water treatment plant like 4 or 5 years ago. I was working at AE2S when we did it. Okay. So I sell this thing to my wife. Hey, this is as good a water. This is the Cadillac of water. Okay. It's brand new water treatment plant. Well, we need a pure. There's a lot of blah, blah, blahs in there. I'm like, oh my God. And then pouring it into a Stanley, and then it's turned into a thing now where your players and college kids got to walk around with water all the time. I mean,
yeah, you're right. You're right on the,
this is crazy.
On the middle-aged women having to have a Stanley that keeps ice in it for 3 days. You don't have to put anything in there. So yeah, I definitely agree with you, Kelly, on that.
We've turned this into the male edition of The View.
We're out of time here. Thanks for joining us, Coach.
I want to talk about snacks in the locker room during a Zamboni break in a hockey game. Really? Right. We can't make it 90 minutes without a snack, but hey, let's talk football, Schmitty. Not the game you were looking for Saturday. How are things since you got back from South Dakota?
Yeah, I think the guys were hurting. The staff was hurting. Everybody was obviously disappointed. We knew it was important to go down there and get off to a good start, and just felt like, not so much offensively or defensively that we struggled early, but more on special teams, just block punt for a safety, gave up a long return right after that, that they only had to go 23 yards in 7 plays to make it 9-0. And you get yourself in a place like that and get behind by 2 scores, you've created, an environment there and a situation now where you're going to be battling, all day long. And then compounded that, with turning the ball over, didn't play really good defense right before halftime. So we were down 17-6, and then coming out of half, gave up a field goal and a touchdown off of a fumble return. So, just a lot of things that I felt like, we had done a good job of as far as, really talking to our guys is like, why do you win? Every single week we talk about 3 other stats besides winning. It's turnover ratio and being able to win that. It's explosive play ratio, creating more than you're giving up. And then it's field position. And we really did a poor job in all 3 of those areas. We turned it over 3 times and didn't create any turnovers. We had a couple fourth down stops that were big, but we didn't take the ball away from South Dakota on an interception or a fumble. Explosive plays, we were pretty good. We had more than they did, and then field position, just mentioned the kickoff return. I think we covered kicks really all that well all day. So that's something that needs to improve here this week. And you give those, you give teams short fields, that means points. So, you got to be able to go out every single week. Like I say all the time, like it's what have you done for me lately? Business, college football. And every week there's a story written. It's what do you do Sunday through Friday? And then Saturday, this week from 1 to 4, and that's where we have to be really, really good.
You mentioned special teams 2 weeks in a row now. There was a punt blocked by the opponent, and I know the first week you might add the backups in at the end of the game when Indiana State did it, but I'm guessing South Dakota picked up on something, and then they kind of ran the same set. It looked like a version of it, whatever you want to call it. But is that something now moving forward? How do you address that? If you've seen it, 2 weeks in a row, I assume it's easily addressable, but is it something that you have to change, or is it just getting back to the basics of how to block a punt or how to line up?
Yeah, I think there's all of that goes into it. Obviously, you put anything on tape, like you're talking about, no matter who's punting it, no matter who's protecting it, like you put something out there that shows weakness, then you're going to, start to have to, you're going to get heated up when teams think that they can go block a punt. So we got to do some things formationally to make sure that we create some long sides and things like that, and not, just give a steady dose of one formation where teams will be able to know your protection schemes off of that. And definitely a concern here, something that we worked on really hard on Tuesday. Wednesday is a more of a kickoff return day. And then, Thursday will be a huge punt emphasis here too as well again. So we got some work to do there. That's something that that we have to be able to do a better job of here moving on if we're going to have success.
Well, you got the number one team in the country coming into your house on Saturday. Some will call it a rivalry, some will not. But a lot of history between these two schools. We've got some questions here on Twitter for you. What would Coach Schmidt be telling Player Schmidt during this week if he was on your team?
Great question. What would Coach Schmidt tell Player Schmidt, huh? I think, it's to me, it's all about the process, Tank. Like, I know everybody wants Saturday to get here, and everybody wants to talk about what happens, during the game on Saturday. And obviously, I think that's a big piece of it. But I always say, hey, man, practices are about performance. The games are for learning. And you're always after every game. There's lessons learned that that coaches put down on paper. So that if it does come up again, or you can teach your guys, those situations that come up during the game. And we've always, since day one here, talked about being process oriented, not being, outcome oriented. And for me, it's going back to, our process. And I think there was times when, we did some things that were uncharacteristic last week, and it probably there were some moments there where I thought, we played to some external things as opposed to, our internal standards. And that's what we have to do a good job of. I mean, I said in the press conference on Monday, but the Hawks need to be responsible for the Hawks. Things like Kelly's talking about with special teams and things like that, like those are what matter. And we have to get better in those areas. We were good in those areas for, 8 straight games. And that has to continue here if we're going to have success. And that's the message that we've really given to the guys here early, is do simple better, go back to your process, line up, get the call, cycle the snap, make sure you're playing the right technique, you're in the right leverage, all those little details, and keep going through that, play in and play out. Because when we do that, I think we can be a really good football team.
Another question here. You don't have to answer this first part. Will you have someone spy Cole Payton for most of the game? Guessing you don't want to answer that, Schmitty, but containing him and preventing him from getting big runs is going to be crucial. Tell us what kind of matchup is he? He can beat you with his feet and his arm, it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really, know much about his story until, he started playing a lot this year. But, obviously they used him as a wildcat guy in the past, and he's a big, strong kid. That's the one thing that sticks out. And when he gets moving, like, he can circle guys, he can run through guys. He's really got, some Tim Tebow in it, from back in the day, in him, I should say, from back in the day. Like, he's a big dude running around. And I think, you know, obviously this year he's throwing it a lot better and you know, creating a lot of explosive with his arms too as well. But if you look at his stats, he has more explosive runs than all the running backs combined right now on the season. So that tells you something, you know, right there. And a lot of it is, you know, just scramble things where he takes off and, yeah, there's spy guys there and you're trying to funnel them maybe one way or the other, or trying to spray him to a certain area of the field, and he still outruns your spy or outruns, you know, that area of the field when you put him in a confined space. So I think that's a huge key. It's a great question. We have to do a good job of continuing to find a way to get the ball on the ground when it's in his hands, because they're one of the best third down teams in the country right now. And really a lot of it is just him taking the ball and running is how they're able to get those conversions. So we got to be able to make sure that, you know, we're dialed up as far as schematically there to be able to handle some of the things that that they're going to do, first of all, in the throw game. And then also once you take those things away, you're going to have somebody close to him that, you know, has the ability to be able to get him on the ground.
You know, offensively now, you're going to be going against, you know, arguably one of the best defenses in the country, only allowing 12 points a game. They got 24 sacks on the year, even though they don't bring a lot of pressure. That's a pretty impressive number, only allowing 30% on third down conversions. You got your work cut out for you, you know, offensively. What do you see from this Bison defense that you can tell our listeners about them?
Well, I think the one thing that's impressive about them is, like, wherever the ball is, like, there's the time and the space. I mean, they go away in a hurry. And I think there's, you know, how hard they play, how well of a job they do holding leverage, owning leverage, and playing to their leverage, I think is very noticeable. You know, like you said, Kelly, up front, I think, you know, really, really strong, physical at the point of attack in the middle, and got some edge guys that, you know, have some twitch as well as being able to, you know, have some point strength too as well. So I think they do a good job there. I think number one is a really good player. Like, he's the one guy that stands out, I feel like, athletically. The Donovan Woolen kid that can cover a lot of space, and he can, you know, he's a dynamic player as far as he can do some things in coverage where they don't have to sub package guys. And then, you know, in the run game too as well, like, he's super long and rangy and can blitz and do all those things. And I think their corners do a good job in run support too as well. So it's not, you know, one of these deals where it's one, you know, one thing that you have to, you know, pay attention to. I just think they don't put anybody on the field that, you know, like, you know, is like that a championship team shouldn't put on the field. There's not that one glaring spot where you're like, all right, we can, you know, take advantage of this matchup. I just think they do a good job with their personnel. And then, you know, just schematically, I think, you know, wherever the ball is, man, like, they suck the air out of it in a hurry. And that's what stands out to me.
What can we look for from Jerry Kaminsky this week in a bounce back sort of way? Very uncharacteristic last week. But he had a nice the second half went a lot better. Just missed a throw or two that were going to be big there, but, he seemed to bounce back a little bit, you know, get the offense back in rhythm again. What do you see from him this week? Is this a guy like him, who, you know, he's been in the news and kind of getting a lot of publicity with how well he's played. Is this a tougher week for him, or is this something where you guys got to talk to him a little bit and tell him it's, you know, you don't need to be John Wayne here and win the thing for us. It's all it's a team deal.
Yeah, I think just continue where Jerry's had his success up to this point is just staying within the system. And, you know, I think he's done a great job of spreading the ball around to a number of different players every single week and different position groups too as well. I think, you know, not just the receivers, but our backs, our tight ends, you know, just doing a good job of being quick, being decisive. You know, the rhythm and the timing of the offense has been really good. And then, you know, doing some things with his feet too as well. And I think that's the thing that, you know, we've talked to him is, you know, we think there's, you know, some ability there, even in the run game, some more here, as, you know, you go back and look at all the games we've played, that I think he can get vertical and make some guys miss and do some things there to keep our offense on the field. And that's something that I think all good quarterbacks are, you know, have the ability athletically to, you know, when things break down, you don't have time, even if receivers are open, the D-line's beating your O-line and they're beating the receivers, you know, to the first down marker, then you got to be able to pull the ball down and go make some plays with your feet. And I think that's the thing, you know, that that we need to continue to see out of Jerry. He's done a good job of, And, you know, I think those are the things when you get in these games, just having that competitive, you know, spirit to be able to keep the offense on the field, because it'll be huge. Those are, you know, you talked about third down already, Kelly. I think, you know, our offense being able to convert some third downs and stay on the field, and then our defense being able to, you know, like you said, get the ball on the ground when the quarterback's running the ball on third down and find a way to be able to get off the field and get it back to our offense will be crucial.
Let's talk about the offensive line. What kind of tests they'll have. I mean, NDSU always has a good lines on both sides of the ball, but we really haven't talked much about your offensive line this year, just probably because they've been solid. I guess it's that one position until things fall off. You don't really talk about them too much. How big will they be on Saturday?
I think it's a huge matchup, Tank. I think, you know, those guys we talk all the time about, you know, they set a standard here. I think just as a group, they're player-led, guys who challenge each other every single day. You know, they do a good job of being not just friends, but also being good teammates and making sure that, that, you know, if somebody's not, you know, operating at full capacity, that they get that guy, you know, up to the standard. So I think it's huge, you know, in the run game. We need to be diverse enough in the run game to be able to, you know, be dynamic and have different ways to be able to run it with different people and all those types of things. But it all comes down to those guys executing, getting targeted correctly every single play, being in the same place as far as communication, those types of things. And then, you know, being able to try to move some people. You know, I think, you know, it's one thing, like I said before, to, you know, have some of the stats and all those types of things that we do, but we need to do it against good people too as well. And that's a matchup that I think will have a, you know, it will be a huge indicator and we'll, you know, probably decide the game is going to be how we match up with their offense, you know, in the box, and then how our offensive line matches up with some pretty good defensive players too as well. And their box is going to be a huge matchup when it comes to Saturday afternoon.
Well, I know we're looking forward to it. It's been an exciting week for us here at UND Football 360. We're trying to do our part, Schmitty. We got some NIL deals with Mr. Rucker and Jerry Kaminsky, or Jerry Football now. So trying to do some things there. But been a while since we've talked about this. Give us a little update on the NIL and how important this is moving forward for your program. And you know, if you can afford $20 a month, it's going to help.
Yeah, it's been really good. You know, and there's a lot of things that that we're doing just educationally with people that, you know, so they understand, you know, how we're trying to help kids. It's really trying to eliminate as many stressors, you know, out of their lives so they can come here and have the most incredible experience, you know, that an 18 to a 23-year-old can. We want to make sure that, you know, they want to come here, get developed, you know, academically, athletically, spiritually, socially. And I think, you know, by us being able to help them, they can concentrate on being the best versions of themselves in football and in school. And that's really the goal, is not to have them have to worry about getting extra jobs. Where am I going to find meals? Where am I going to find rent? Like, getting this place to be where it's a first-class operation that, you know, it's player-led. The players are appreciative for what they have, and they really feel like, hey, this is where, you know, the place that recruited me, these are the guys who have developed me, and now, you know, I want to stay here and be retained here. And that's how you're going to, you know, at this day and age of college football, how you're going to be successful. It's not going to be, you know, bringing all these guys in through the portal and all that kind of stuff. It's being able to recruit guys, get them here, develop them, and then retain them is going to be the biggest thing. And I think that's where this comes in, that guys just feel like they're getting taken care of, that, you know, it's a place that they can be able to reach their goals. They want to, you know, lock arms with our staff and we're going to help them get to where they want to get to, both on and off the field, and that they can leave here and, you know, at the end of their 4 or 5 years and really feel like, you know, they're self-sufficient, built for life, and, you know, hopefully get their name called on draft night. Like, we're doing those types of things here, and this is all a piece of it too as well.
Yeah, I told the guys when they signed their second NFL contract, their big one, we could still have these sites up, but just remember the little guys when they do it. So,
yeah, I think, you know, it's all part of it. I still think that, you know, like, college football is special, not because of that, not because of rev sharing and NIL and, you know, we're never going to, you know, make that the number one thing in our program, you know, the portal or whatever. Like, it's still special because of the relationships, because of the journey you go on with guys, you know, that are like-minded, that want to be really, really good. I mean, it's that, that's what this is about. Like, it's the brotherhood is what makes college football special, not all those other things.
The UND Football 360 pregame show is proudly presented by Rumors Sports Bar, Grand Forks' home for pregame hype, postgame breakdowns, and every big moment in between. Whether you're meeting up with the crew or catching the game on the big screen, Rumors is where UND fans rally. Cold drinks, good food, sharp takes, and the kind of UND energy you can't fake. Development Homes, Inc., gaming, simulcast horse racing, pull tabs, blackjack, and the pig wheel. Interstate Industrial, Oilfield Services, the 1883 Collective. Hey, we're still here. The 1883 Collective is a 100% volunteer organization. It exists to support student athletes at UND. Contributions to the collective help fund support for unique ways to get students involved in the community. Want to add some juice to the excitement of the football program right now? Dollars to the 1883 Collective are fuel on the fire as we work to recruit and retain top talent in our football program. They work closely with partners in the athletic department and the Alumni Association to ensure they're providing second to none opportunities for student athletes that choose to come and stay at UND. Go to 1883collective.com, click on the Get Involved tab to make your contribution today. The Toasted Frog, whether it's the night before kickoff, post-game celebration, or just a solid date night, the Toasted Frog in Grand Forks delivers. From legendary fried pickles to craft cocktails and cozy vibes, it is the go-to spot for Fighting Hawk fans who know how to eat well. UND Football 360 is brought to you by TankLogo.com. Hey, it's your one-stop shop for promotional products, corporate apparel, signage, and print. Whether you're building a brand, outfitting a team, or making a statement, TankLogo.com takes care of you and your message from concept to delivery. Trusted by local teams, businesses, and anyone who wants to make their brand stand out. UND Football 360 is brought to you by Kelly Howe with Nodak Insurance. Trusted coverage from someone who knows North Dakota inside and out. Whether you're protecting your home, farm, or future, Kelly's got your back with personalized service and coverage you can count on when it matters most. Well, it's time to take a trip around the valley. Thanks to our good friends at the Toasted Frog. Make that your headquarters this weekend for UND home football games, either Friday night, Saturday night. Great place to go. But let's start with Southern Illinois. They beat Murray State 27-7. No surprises there.
Ugly game. Tried to watch some of it. It started raining. So the game fell apart real quick. I was watching. I was like, why aren't they doing anything? Well, then they pan up to the lights. You know, that's how they show the rain. And oh, boy. So, yeah, it wasn't much going on in that one.
Yeah, Illinois State, they defeat Northern Iowa 31-16. That would have been a nice one to see Northern Iowa win. But, again, no surprises. I think it scores.
They took care of it. Right, Northern Iowa there. Put up their 240 yards of offense, I think they had every week.
North Dakota State beats Youngstown State 38-30. I think many surprised with that one.
Yeah, wild game. I mean, a lot of points, a lot of action going on. Youngstown had a heck of a game plan.
And the ball was kind of bouncing weird, too, right?
Yeah. I heard. There was stuff
Someone took a special teams play off their face mask, was it?
Yeah.
Was it a Youngstown guy? Or
I can't remember. Was that what it was? I didn't see that. I saw the kick return for touchdown. I mean, it was just kind of a good spectator game, put it that way. But, NDSU pulled away, stayed up late, I guess. But, Youngstown, they battled. Boy, we saw them in the Alaris Center. They're a good outfit, and they were in it all game. You know, they gave themselves a chance, put it that way. But yeah, it was a very, very entertaining football game.
Some of the Bison fans talked to was a Bo Brunsgard.
Brunsgard.
Yep. Yeah, they said they were very impressed with him on Saturday. Fun to watch.
I think they outgained NDSU in that game.
Really?
Too. Yeah. Interesting.
Let's make that 2 weeks in a row. Right. South Dakota State. Wow. They crapped the bed, polite way of saying it. Indiana State beats them 24-12. I think, the season's not over with, but I think South Dakota State would just like this season to be over with and start over next year, wouldn't they?
Yeah, they lost so much that, yeah, I think they're going through some major issues. Well, but the thing is, go look at the box score. They doubled up Indiana State in yardage. Indiana State had like 225 yards or something, total offense. But it was just one of those games where, kind of like ours, South Dakota State had three turnovers and Indiana State had zero. There's your game. That's pretty much our game right there. Yeah, they moved the ball. They just turned it over, couldn't get in the end. It was just choppy, and they've been choppy all year. We've talked about it. You know, they struggled with Drake. You know, they struggled in a bunch of games. They struggled with Murray, I think it was, right away. And so, yeah, without Chase Mason at quarterback, they're not nearly as dynamic as they once were. But, yeah.
Is he out? The year?
No, he'll be back. Yeah, yeah, I'm sure he'll be back for us.
Yeah. Is that what they're saying? Well, he'll be back.
There's what, 2 weeks left? So it's like, well, all right, you know, but yeah, he'll be back, and that'll help him greatly. But yeah, you lose to Indiana State at home too. That was at home. So yeah, it was a good win for Indiana State though. Like we saw them, and UND handled them pretty well the week before. But like I said, they have pieces and they have belief. They believe and they play hard.
I think they kind of come in with a, hey, guys, we got nothing to lose attitude on some of these.
Their D-line.
Second half at the Alaris Center, they battled. They didn't give up.
Yeah, they never do. And they just, you know, like I said, in the, I think you put a clip out there of what I said. You know, they're just kind of up against it. Don't have what everybody else has. But Mallory, he has them believe every year. They show up, and at least the D line is where I always notice them. They just go. Those D linemen, they can play, and I think they did all right in this one too. So yeah, major upset. I mean, South Dakota State, they're dropping. That's their second loss now, and second in league play too. So that's the key. It drops you down in the league, but yeah, they'll. That's good
really
for Indiana.
Two bad losses. I mean, that NDSU loss wasn't. I mean, they got their butts kicked.
Yeah, yeah, that was maybe a precursor to the, you know, maybe that was a showing that this could happen type of thing. But I'm sure by the time they get to the Alaris Center, they'll have it dialed back in, Tank.
Yeah, the clip Kelly was talking about is we take a lot of the podcast segments now and put those out on social media. So encourage your friends, family to hop on Twitter or X. We're on Instagram and Facebook, and you can stay up to date on everything going on with the UND Football 360. It is the game. Time for the game preview. Thanks to Rumors, Sports Bar, Grill, and Casino. Do we know what time Billy opens up there on a Saturday?
Well, Billy, for
the
that
tailgating
one.
Tailgating is going to be good, but.
Probably, what, 9 a.m. maybe?
I think you should have at least two or three of those big mugs before this game.
Well, Billy,
easily at Rumors.
Billy said I think it was last time he said not shutting down. We beat NDSU. It was 2023, which we did. He goes, I'm not shutting down. I'll shut down when I want.
Yeah, it sounded like he was ready to shut down at about like 7 p.m., but he kept muscling through, right? Powered through 2 years ago, if I remember correctly.
Those are some long days out there.
So if we win on Saturday, look for Billy. You'll have a great time the way he talked about 2 years ago. But Bison coming to town, number one in the country. You know, it's a series where I there's some years where the gap is pretty big, right? Yep. But this year, it should on paper, it should be a pretty good football game. There's a lot of good matchups in this game.
Yeah, it should be. Should be a good football game. I mean, they have the better roster, yes. But what UND fans need to realize is that this roster that you're looking at right now for UND is only going to get better. And it's obvious in recruiting, the recruits they got. So this is how it's going to be. Let's put it that way. I'm not going to put it down, but it's only going to get better. So yeah, the gap is there. I mean, they got playmakers all over the place. They got depth. You know, they've lost some guys in the secondary here and they can replace them easily. We lose guys in the secondary. It's a drop off. So that's the difference. Everyone knows that there's a reason why they're number one in the country. There's a reason why, you know, they're 9-0 and they've had their toughest game was last week, 38-30 against Youngstown. Before that, I mean, it was pretty much blowout after blowout. most of the year. So yeah, everyone knows what they bring to the table. Everyone knows what they're getting into. Everyone knows that they've won whatever 10, 11 national championships, whatever it is at the FCS level. So this weekend, yeah, I mean, it's not like this game is not like what you mentioned, like 2015, those years where we come in, we're like, wow, okay, we just hope to keep it within 20. It's not that, but they're number one in the country for a reason.
Let's talk about UND's defense and what they have up against them, because our rushing defense has been pretty good. And it seems like the last few years where we thought, okay, this is going to be a good game, they ran all over our defense. I mean, just right. Power, boom, you know? Yep. I would say they can go down the field more than they have in years past. You know, they've always had it, but now I think they really like to go.
A lot more.
And we have not been real strong in that deep game defense. We've been caught a couple times. I think that's safe to say. And even Eric Schmidt has said, hey, I had the wrong call out there. So is that an area of concern for this defense coming into this game, that deep threat?
Yeah. Oh, I would say so.
The game changer.
Especially with Bryce Lance out there. I mean, they're going to need to... There will be double coverage. Okay, I mean, I don't know how you could not do that. We have five DBs on the field. He's the biggest threat they have. So, yes, there will be double coverage going on, but you can't do that all game because they'll know that's happening, and now they'll start running on you because they know you're one short in the run support game. So it's just a chess match back and forth. It would be trying to catch Peyton in a mistake, type of thing in that double coverage, which he won't do. He'll go somewhere else because smart kid. So yeah, it's going to be interesting chess match. I mean, UND hasn't given up much rushing this year. Like last week, it felt like they gave up so many yards rushing, because Phillips was getting the turning and twisting and fighting. I was like, geez, we can't get this guy down. Well, at the end of the game, they had 97 yards rushing. So UND's been pretty good. If you're UND, you're not coming into the game saying, hey, we got to stop the running back run game. That's not your concern.
It's the quarterback.
It's the quarterback scramble run game. It's not, they don't run him, it seems, as much as in the past quarterbacks they may have, even though he can. He's probably the best out of all of them. They don't purposely run him like between the 20s. When they get inside the 10, then he gets his dial, they dial him up quite a bit, and he'll try to plow it in. But it's more of a, oh boy, who did they equate? You can equate it to, like Caleb Williams when he played at USC, Johnny Football. That it's more running around back there and making you miss.
But, he's a playmaker.
Yeah, but he's keeping the pass alive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So he's dropping back and he's throwing the ball, right? Just like any quarterback would. But he's also running left and right, but with only a purpose to let plays develop and let his receivers turn into scramble routes. That's where he's most dangerous.
On the playground, this guy was, no one was touching him.
Yeah,
no,
and you can't get him down.
Yeah.
So he's one of the faster guys on the field, and he's 6'3", whatever he is, 215, let's call him, whatever he is. So it's just a combination of things. You have to try to keep him in the pocket, which now leads me to my, when I'm looking at my notes, pass rush lanes. If you're going to have a four down, you got to stay in your pass rush lanes. And then would one of those guys, there's ways you can do it off that too. You can have one of those guys twist in to replace, an out, do a little twist game up front. But the guy who twists in, like a Lance Rucker, that type of thing, who can run, he is now your spy. So he twists back in a little slower than he normally would, and he's waiting in the middle. But the ends can't rush too far upfield, and they can't rush in because there goes now Peyton runs around the end, right? But he doesn't take off all the time. That's the thing. He keeps plays alive, running around, letting things happen, and then finds open guys, and it just kills you. So, yeah, I mean, it's you would think it would be more of the QB run game, but I think it's more of just him running around and if he doesn't like it, by all means, he's gone. Yep. Yep. He doesn't see anything. He's gone. And then now you got to go chase him. And do you have a guy who can chase him down? It's not always the case, you know. So it'll be interesting to see how UND handles it.
The way our secondary has played, do you feel confident they can stay with these guys when he is in that scramble mode looking downfield?
I think so. The secondary has actually played okay. Yeah, they've gotten beat, but everybody gets beat. I mean, it's like, you know, yeah, you're going to get beat when you play man-to-man a lot. So, yeah, I think it's just scramble rules. You know, you got to stay with guys, but it's not all scramble. I mean, they run normal plays and throw it and, you know, hit Lance on big plays and crossing patterns and stuff like that. So it's just, it's a whole team effort and it's going to start up front. You know, you can't plan on getting to them a whole lot, but you gotta be able to try to force some tight windows and see what happens.
This is probably the least amount I've known about a Bison football team in a long time. Just the way life goes, I don't pay a lot of attention, but they've always got a great offensive line, and I'm guessing that's no different than this year.
Yep.
You said the key for our defense, stay in your lanes with this. Is that harder to do with a great offensive line in front of you? Does it make it tougher?
I don't know if it's tougher, you know, to stay in your lane. It's tougher once the game goes on. You're pressing, like we talked about earlier in the show. You start pressing, you want to make a play, and that's when you leave your lane and things fall apart. So
you're maybe wore down a little bit.
If you have to stay in your lane, how do you get by a good offensive line too? That's hard. Yeah. You know, if you're just a defensive tackle type of a body, it's not as easy, but you want to stay in your lane and you got to just hold them up and fill gaps, right? And so, yeah, they're good. They're young offensive line, but obviously they're good again. So, you know, they're always it's easy to say they're a top three offensive line in the country every year. I mean, let's just say they are again because they look pretty good.
Funny thing is, though, the last two games in the Alaris Center is like a dog, like a backyard alley fight, dark alley fight in the trenches. Like the fourth quarter of those last two games, they were slow to get up, both offense and defensive lines for both teams. Yeah,
it was 2021 was an ugly game and just brutal. Oh my God, they were killing each other.
It was fun to watch. Yeah. You know, it was like in the fourth, like, man, these guys don't have much left down there.
I remember some of those run plays, they get up and be like, it would take 15 seconds for all the bodies to come up. I mean, it was just a mass of people in there. And yeah, it was fun. But
you're Isaac Frickty now. Yeah. Okay. Quarterback. Okay. First year of starting in college, had really his first adversity in a game where things didn't really go the way he wanted them to. What do you say to him this week?
Well, you say just trust my play calls. Trust what we talked about in practice. It's what we talked about in our meetings, right? Just trust it. You go into the game, nothing's different. Trust what you're seeing. I assume after last week that they're going to pressure. You know, you have to assume that they're going to bring a fifth guy. NDSU doesn't bring a lot of pressure. They like to get pressure with four, which every defensive coordinator does, because if you can get pressure with four, you're going to be really good. And then they'll bring a fifth guy, you know, and they might bring another backer to make it six, but not very often. So trust what you see and just play, you know, and just play football. And here's the key. He's going to have to run this week. He's going to have to run quite a bit.
I was just
going to
say, could we see something similar now with UND? Because his feet aren't, you know, he's no slouch when it comes to running.
With the Tampa, too, the way they get those deep drops, the safeties drop deep. You know, if they're in cover three, they go to a cover three every once in a while. They drop deep. You know, everything's deep to keep it in front of you. Now, if the linebackers start to drop and they get depth, Jerry's got to get by. He's got to get by that front four rush. And if you get by it, then you can run. You can get 5 yards, you know, before they come back up to you. And so it's going to be key that he takes off. The second thing that UND is going to have to do is the RPO game. You have to get him in space. They're already in space, so you got to get him isolated one-on-one. Inside the tackle is going to be tough. Nobody runs inside the tackles.
And you've been saying this about NDSU's defense for a long time, right?
Yeah, you can't run. You know, well, 2 years ago we started running between the tackles because they were just done. They were off that day. They just weren't playing well. So we just started drop the hammer and started running inside on them. That's not going to happen in a normal game. If they're playing well, nobody does that to them. So you got to get it in space. Got to get the RPO game. What our Youngstown did, they had the sweeps going. They ran sweep left, sweep right. Then they run a fake off the sweep, send that sweep guy up the seam. They're running little, you know, little games back and forth, but left and right. That's the key. Get them moving left and right. Then you try to just.
So Hoskins is going to be busy. I would running think in so. Motion this week.
I would think it would be like a game of Hoskins. Last week, I remember I said, I don't think Hoskins, I don't see that last week. And sure enough, you know, I don't even think he played just because of the way South Dakota plays defense. Yeah. Well, this is different. You know, you can get out in the alleys and make some plays. So, yeah, I mean, Youngstown, they had a nice game plan, put up, I think, 370 yards offense and, you know, kind of showed the rest of the league, hey, you know, maybe take a look at this stuff. And 2 years ago, we got that tape, how Danny Freund ran it. He said the same thing. It's got to be RPO action. It's got to be in space. And everything has to be one-on-one if you can get it, and you got to win. You got to make them try to miss the tackle as the key. And they're pretty good. They're three linebackers for NDSU are really good. So are they going to miss many tackles? I don't know. But
an area we don't talk a lot about because it's been so solid is offensive line. And there again, NDSU is very strong up front defensively. They put a lot of resources into the offensive defensive lines up there. But
right.
Do you like the matchup with our own line this year?
Well, it's going to be tough. I mean, yeah, it's going to be strength on strength.
Can we run the ball?
Well, if we run it, it's got to be a creative run game. Like I said, I don't see a whole lot of inside zone with Sawyer or anything. You know, you got to try and see what happens, but it could be a QB, you know, a QB run game, you know, that type of thing. I think they got to get creative. NDSU is just too tough up front. We've seen it for how many years now? 20, 30 years straight.
Could this be the week we've been showing a lot of things out there? Or Decoy, I think early on when we tried it, he was seeing the ball a little bit more, but could Simon Rumpfo play? I mean, is this where maybe the week, couple plays, he could be the difference?
Something. I mean, you know what I mean? Yeah, could be. Yeah, I mean, if you're not going to save any plays.
Are we going back to Danny Freund ball where it's like, hey, it's second and eight in the first quarter. Let's do a triple reverse.
Yeah, right, you know? Yeah. Well, but it could be. I mean, there's no reason to save any of that stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this week would be the one. I mean, if you feel like you need to energize or you feel like you need – sometimes it's not even energized. Sometimes you got the energy and you want to pile on. And then you run something like that, and you just try to really mess with heads and be like, oh, my God, they're doing everything under the sun today. It starts to – if you're in the secondary and you start to see that, start to see all, you know, some the stuff you saw on tape, right? You got that. Then all of a sudden they're throwing in some double passes and stuff. Well, you got to – it never leaves your brain after you see it.
Yeah.
You're like, God dang, it gives you a second of pause whenever you see something similar happening, you know. So, that'd be interesting. It's going to be a chess match. You know, Isaac Frick, he's got his work cut out for him. Last year did not go the way UND wanted it to down at the Fargo Dome. I think it was 42-17. We couldn't get anything going. Nah. We tried to run between the tackles. Yes. Nothing. Yep. So you got to have a better game plan at the Alaris Center, though. UND's always different at the Alaris Center, but, you know, I'm looking at, we're talking their defense. They only give up 12 points a game. They have 24 sacks on the year, and they don't bring pressure a lot. You know, they bring a fifth guy is all, and they have 24 sacks. Hey, they only allow 30% on third down. That's a good stat. So Isaac Frickty's got his work cut out for him. I don't know. It's just going to be, you know, you know what you can't do, put it that way. And it's got it. You got to try to make the other stuff work and get creative.
Well, I know what I can do. I can pick UND to win this game. And that's what I'm going to do right now because it's the pick segment. And I just feel good about this one. I like the attitude and the mindset of this football program. I don't think they're phazed by last week. I think by the time they got off the bus, it was done because, I mean, we've seen so much put into kind of that next play, right? Just do what you can control. And I think it bounces back to that, and UND wins 35-28.
35, wow.
Yeah, we're going to get some points.
28.
I think we're going to be able to.
Wow, 35 big ones.
Yeah.
Tang's just wringing his hands over there, licking his chops.
Isaac Frickty fan this week, and Jerry Football's going to come through.
All right. No, yeah, it's going to. It'd be interesting. Last time, what was it, 49-28 or something like that? It ended up
there. Yeah, I don't think it's going to
be
that.
It's not going to be that way. But that one steamrolled, and UND was ready to go. When I look at my notes, there can't be the special teams gaffes. We're not going to win. We have one of those, it's over. I mean, we just can't lose momentum like that. We didn't have any of those. We had all the special teams the last time they were in the Lara Center. When they all went our way. Okay. We can't have any of that. We can't turn it over. I mean, if it's going to be a turnover, it just needs to be a meaningless one at the end of a half or something. It can't be like last week. You got to play a clean football game. They have to. These guys just have to realize that. And I hope they understand what this means, you know, what this game means in the between the programs and what it means when you get a number one team in the country to come to your place. That's what these players have to understand. They got to embrace this. This is a hell of an opportunity that they have in front of them. Plus, they get South Dakota State coming after that. I mean, you can play in some crap conference down south or something and never play in a game that means anything. And then we get these games. You know, it's unbelievable. It's a great opportunity for the Hawks. So, I'll be a little bit less, but I don't know. Why can't UND win the game? I don't know. I always tell myself that when I look at a game, I'm like, can they win? Why can't they win? That's the first thing. If I can say, why can't a team win? And I don't pick them. I just quit. No, there's no way. If I can come up with it, UND can win this game. There's chance. It's got to be played pretty well. And they're going to need NDSU to be off. I'm just going to come on. Let's be honest. They're going to need NDSU, you know, Cole Payton to throw a bad interception. Yeah, you know, fumble. Geez, they uncharacteristically fumbled the ball. Yeah. You know, something goofy. Yeah. We're going to need a little help. Let's call it that. And, but I think they win it. Let's 27-24. Okay. Ox tank. Let's go. Good. It'll be a hell of a football game. I mean, the people are going to be entertained. Wait till the fans who haven't been to this one, wait till you get inside the Alaire Center for this one versus any other game you've been at, because the atmosphere is just a little bit different, Tank.
Yeah, let's keep it rolling through the fall into December.
Yeah, that would be the way
awesome to do it, right?
December football. We should get a home game, too, because we bid big last time. So we've got to get a seed, though. Then you know you're getting one.
It comes to those winter games, though, in the future, I'll ride with you. You can drive. Yep. No offense. I love Buxton, North Dakota, but man, that's that overpass. Yeah, not fun. Hey, should be a fun one. Get out there, do some tailgating on Saturday. Sounds like we could maybe see a little snow coming through North Dakota, but I think we're going to be okay on the eastern side of the state. But I'm not in weather, so don't shoot me if I'm wrong. But yeah, get up there, get loud. Get up on your feet, get rowdy. This is the game to do it and enjoy it, right? I mean, you got the number one team in the country coming in. Let's get after it and pull out another W. We need to get back on the board. And we'll be back next week with another pregame show. Listen to Jack Michaels and Coach Berg on the Fighting Hawks Radio Network. And I think DAY's got it, but... If you're YouTube, you're kind of...
Yeah, I didn't...
I don't know what's going on right now.
I didn't
now.
Look up that one. Does Midco and WDY get that one?
I think
one?
They might both
do they
get
both
it.
Get to do that? Yeah, I thought there was something unique. Let me look at this quick. See if we can live check it out here. What do we got? Midco, ESPN. Yeah, I suppose we list Midco. I'm not sure if WDY gets it to that.
I thought I saw that someone... Okay. Said they'll have the game, but watch it on Midco. They always do a good job. I heard that color guy. Good, good family.
Yeah,
huh?
He does all right.
Yeah. Enjoy the game. We'll be back next week.